You ever get that relentless whisper that says it's good but not perfect? The one that turns up right when you should be done?
All the time. I used to believe if I pushed a little harder, I'd hit this clean, untouchable finish line. It's a treadmill, it drains you.
In my world, you live by the rewrite. There's always a sharper cut, a better sentence. But here's the line I keep circling. When does healthy craft become compulsion?
When the thing that used to pull you forward becomes a cage, that's how it felt for me. Everywhere you look, the world sells perfection, but it hides the bill, and sometimes there isn't even a there to reach.
Right, and I don't just mean tidy desks and color-coded calendars. I mean the psychological grip, the slide into burnout, anxiety, and that eerie sense you've drifted from who you are.
When you mentioned the stories you've been collecting, that hit me. If we can loosen the idea that worth equals flawlessness, maybe we can practice being imperfect on purpose. That's the courage piece I want to learn.
It feels fundamental, almost baked in. But is it innate, or?
Learned. That's my gut. I used to swear it was my private voice, then I heard its accent. Teachers, early career rules, family expectations. It wasn't born in me, it moved in.
Researchers actually split it in two. Self-oriented perfectionism, you driving yourself against an impossible bar, and socially prescribed perfectionism, the belief that others have sky-high standards you must hit to be accepted.
The second one gives me chills, that tightrope for an invisible crowd.
Sometimes literally imaginary, and it feeds what's called perfectionist self-presentation, the urge to look flawless at all times, the non-display and non-disclosure of mistakes. You curate your whole life so no cracks show, and the data link that stands to real distress and anxiety.
So it's a performance.
In effect, yeah. You stop savoring the work and start managing the optics. The spotlight never turns off, and it fries your nervous system.
That's the part that wrecked me. You're not doing the job anymore. You're guarding the image of the job. Rest feels like a liability.
Then it leaks everywhere. If you can't risk looking human at work, how do you risk being vulnerable with a friend or a partner? You start dodging situations, withdrawing because the stakes feel absurdly high. Failure isn't, I missed the mark. It feels like social erasure.
You build a fortress to impress people and end up living alone in it. I joke about that sometimes, and I'm kind of not joking.
And the trap is it starts in a place that looks virtuous. In the Big Five model, it's conscientiousness turned up, past workable. When those grand expectations, yours or the ones we think others have, aren't met, they ignite neuroticism.
So the fuel is diligence, but the smoke is worry. Conscientiousness does the striving, neuroticism does the spiraling. They knot together.
Exactly. That knot drives anxiety, depression, even obsessive-compulsive patterns. It's the suffering engine.
When does that engine kick on? It feels like an adult problem, but it can't start with your first paycheck.
Way earlier. This part floors me. Recent estimates put perfectionism in kids and adolescents at roughly 25 to 30%. And for them, it's a vulnerability for the same outcomes. Severe depression, anxiety, even suicidal ideation. That's heavy. Sorry. Okay, the point is, it's not just pressure to achieve, it's the terror of not being enough starting in childhood.
A quarter of our kids? That's an epidemic scale pattern, which means it isn't just private psychology, it's culture.
Culture we built. Schools, online spaces, even well-meaning homes that reward the sheen of flawlessness. Then we act surprised when kids decide their worth equals their performance.
That's socially prescribed perfectionism writ large.
And social media throws gasoline on it, a highlight reel of everyone's polish. Suddenly, the crowd you're performing for is the whole planet, and they all look better, or so it seems.
So it seems. Before we wind down, I want the hard question on the table. What's the release valve?
Vulnerability, letting the seams show. Not ditching standards, but giving yourself permission to be in progress out loud with witnesses you trust.
Self-compassion. Simple word, brutal practice. The inner critic calls it laziness.
Mine says I'm slipping, but maybe the hook it accuses me of slipping off was never a place I was meant to hang from.
Here's the reframe I use with clients. Your worth isn't pegged to flawless execution. You're worthy of rest, of kindness, of love, even when the internal scoreboard says you're behind.
I'd add this. We need a new definition of success. Not no failures, but the resilience you gather from them. Less about the landing, more about the learning.
That moves the center from outcome to process. In a process, mistakes aren't moral stains. They're signal. They're the data we iterate on.
Annoyingly fair. And freeing, accepting that feels like a quiet rebellion against the perfection machine.
A necessary one. And I've been hedging for 10 minutes. Here's my plain take. If the mask costs your peace, it's overpriced.
That's going to stick with me. Also, non-display of imperfection. I'm still hung up on that phrasing. It's clinical and somehow exactly the wound.
Clinical on purpose, I think. so we can see the pattern and not just feel it.
Right. Hey, thanks for carving this out. I needed it.
Same. Let's give ourselves a bit more room to breathe and call that progress.